Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that. It's good to be back at it this week. Appreciate all the help I got the last week prior when we were gone on vacation. So the last couple weeks, you've had some guest speakers, and I don't know, I think they did all right. I think they shared a lot of things that are on all of our hearts and brought some good challenges there. And I appreciate that. And I don't know if Dale really knew when he was preparing how closely and some of the things that were going to be brought out that he shared last week that really tie into us this week. So that's really good stuff. But I'm grabbing all my stuff here. If you notice, I've got a table. So I am trying something different here. We're starting a new series. It's called God's Big Story. And it's something that's been on my heart, and I've been praying through, what does this mean? What are we doing, Lord? And it's been percolating for me for over a year, because that's just how my brain works. You know, I like to not only tackle the things that are in front of me right now, but I like to come up with more things down the road. But in this case, I think it's a good thing. We're going to be taking what I like to call a jet fly tour, a high flyover tour through God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. An overarching narrative that I know is there. And it's really the title of the series, God's Big Story. Because see, when we sometimes compartmentalize, and this was kind of what Dale was getting at last week, when we kind of cherry pick or we grab a verse from here, a verse from there, and I'm not opposed to grabbing verses, memorizing, those are a really good thing, but understanding the context behind it. And so over the last year, we've been looking at the book of Romans and really this more in-depth view of what God's big gospel message was, that was Jesus Christ, and what that looks like in the totality of that. And so hopefully you walked out of that going, man, I didn't realize it was that deep, but I learned something new and God has spurred me on. This series is going to be kind of the opposite spectrum. We're going to take a big flyover view, because if you look at the Bible and you realize even just the things you know about the Bible, you realize that even if we took several years, I couldn't possibly preach through the entirety of the Bible. So what we're going to try to do is, with the help of a tool, and I'll talk a little bit about this in just a second, we're going to take a 31-week journey starting in Genesis and Revelation, Genesis and ending and Revelation. And we're going to hit some of the big components, the things that I think really highlight God's character, that really give us things to anchor to kind of then start with that anchor and move out. And hopefully that help causes you to be interested in maybe a topic here, a topic there, something you didn't know, something you didn't realize happened, and tie it all together and see God's big story. Because I think it's critical. I think it's critical that we understand God's big story from the beginning to the prophecy of what's going to happen in Revelation to better understand what's going on. I do realize this is going to be a jet tour, so I'm not going to be able to highlight every piece as we go, but I'm going to hit, again, the big topics, starting in creation. And, this week we're going to look at Genesis 1 through 4 and 6 through 9, and that's a lot. That's everything from in the beginning God said to the promise that God gave Noah after the flood. There's a lot that goes on there, but we're going to try to get through as much of that as we can in kind of a high flyover view. But I created some tools that I hope will help you through this journey. So there's a QR code that is on or going to be on the screen. And there also is that same QR code in the bulletin. So if you're following along with me in the bulletin, this is going to kind of be what our bulletins look like for the next 30 or so weeks, where we're going to have at the bottom, I will put what I'm focusing on this week so that you can go back and read more in depth on that. I'm going to give you, for those of you that are work aheaders, I'm going to give you next week's scripture main areas. And then there's also this QR code that takes you to our website that has some other resources to kind of help you through this. Now, before you think, well, I'm getting overwhelmed, I don't know what to do, I give you these resources, these things that hopefully it connects with you on one level or another. Find what works for you. Find what helps you grow closer and be more encouraged to grow closer to God, and then tackle that. So that's kind of one of the things. If you follow this QR code, there's a web page that I've created, and it's got a basis idea of what we're doing in this big story. And then there's three other tools there that we'll talk about. One of them, some of you have already talked to me about this morning, was this podcast. So if you don't know what a podcast is, that's okay. Just listen up. A podcast is simply a regularly released recording of some topic. So each week I'm going to release a podcast episode in the middle of the week that kind of looks back and looks ahead, kind of what this pamphlet does here. It kind of summarizes a little bit of what we talked about today, what we're talking about today, so we're looking back, and then it also will probably give you some questions to help you dive a little deeper and then point you ahead. If you're a podcaster or podcast listener, this is great because you can subscribe to it in any of the common platforms and it'll automatically download to your phone and you can then listen to that each week. And if you've got your phone set, that way it'll even tell you when it's there. So if there's anybody that's like, whoa, this is way over my head, that's okay. If you need any help with that, see me after the service or several other people I know that are avid podcast listeners like Dale and others that could help you get connected. Another tool that's going to be available to you is this bookmark. So I've created this bookmark. This, what I want you to do with this, and if you didn't get a bulletin, because that's where they were at, there's more in the back. You can grab them later. On here, what this allows you to do is, what I'm hoping you do, is you'll use this to mark where we're at in God's Word. Okay? Use this to mark where we're at. It also has the handy-dandy QR code at the bottom, as well as a memory verse for each week. So if you want to try to tackle this with me and memorize a verse each week, do that, and that would be one way you can do that. It's kind of a key verse that summarizes where we're going to be at. Another tool that we're going to use that helps provide some of the structure is something called the story. Now, this book was put together by pastors, and particularly Max Lucado and Randy Frazee, two names you may or may not have heard of. They've been around for a long time, and they wrote the foreword and some of the excerpts. And what this does is, this book was the dream of the people who put this together, was they took God's big story and put it in a book form. They took excerpts from Scripture, it is God's Word, put in here in chronological order, and then sometimes they would add a commentary in between to help you get from one to one. This is helping me create a structure, but I'm not preaching from this. I want to be very clear. This is a book. Most of it is God's Word, parts of God's Word, but we're going to be diving in with the Bible. So this leads me to my next thing. You can obviously get one of these. We have a few copies of these in our library for a low cost of $5 if you're able to do that. If this is something that will help you study the sections where we're at, it's kind of another tool. So we can do that. The next thing we'll talk about here is the flyer that's in your bulletin. This is, you know, each year we've typically done, most of the time we've done a spiritual growth challenge, not every year, but usually we've done something in the summer. I'm calling this year's a spiritual growth journey. Why? Because it's longer. We're going to start today and it's going to go through the end of August. Again, let me just say, this is a tool. This is a way to help you get into God's Word. And there is an incentive to this if you would like to take part in that. All the details are on there. I feel like it's fairly well explained. If you have any questions, just let me know. But let me just give you a quick overview, really quick. The first is, number one, there's a weekly goals column. That's all the way to the left. These are just different spiritual disciplines that you can focus on. If you're doing, like for instance, if you've got Bible reading nailed down, then I would encourage you to look at one of these other items and maybe tackle that as well. Challenge yourself. You know, if you're not a journaler, but maybe you wanted to start journaling, start doing that. And so there's a number of things here: memorizing scripture, journaling, family or group study that allows for flexibility for those that are in small groups. or the family devotions, if you do those together. And obviously, listening to the podcast or the sermon is part of that, as well as sharing your testimony with an unsaved person. So that's just kind of always putting that carrot out there for evangelism. In the middle, I want to just highlight that it's suggested. Suggested options. I'm going to update the Bible reading each week to just put what we're going to be studying that week in the sermon. If you've got a Bible reading plan, keep doing the Bible reading plan. Keep track of these things, journaling, maybe listening to my podcast, maybe listening to another podcast, sharing a testimony, that type of thing. There's a keeping track section on the right, and then a pretty decent explanation at the bottom. So there's points, and if you get a certain amount of points, you're going to get a reward. The last thing I'll say about that, and then I'll get after it, is you are responsible for your points. But I do have a chart in the library as well that you can write your name there if you want to keep track of your points there and such forth. All right, have I given you enough information? Everyone's like, I don't know. My daughter, I love her. Grace, thumbs up. That's good. At least it's getting there. But let's start today. Those tools are good. Those tools are critical. Those tools are things we're going to do to help. Hopefully it helps you grow spiritually. But the ultimate root of everything is we're going to be in God's Word. So starting this week in this series, I'm going to be, when there's a passage that I read, I'm going to have the reference put up on the screen, but the words aren't going to be put up on the screen. So I know I'm really ruffling feathers here now. I'm moving your cheese, moving things around. But if you've got a Bible with you or your phone with you, I encourage you to use that, because during this time, there may be things I highlight that you want to circle, you want to underline. I encourage you to do that. There's Bibles in most of the seat backs in front of you. If you don't have one with you, those ones are also in the NIV 84 version, which is what I am going to be preaching from, so you can follow along with that. And let me say this, if you don't have a Bible or you want a new one for the start of the series, take the Bible that's in the seat back in front of you, keep it, write your name in it, and feel free to mark it up if that is going to be yours. Now I'm really meddling a little bit. All right. My heart behind this message, I hope that comes through loud and clear as we get started diving in, is that I want you to better understand God's big story. I want you to better understand that nothing that's happened through time has been an accident. He's been orchestrating his plan from the very beginning. And we'll see this, that even when sin enters the world and boogers it all up, God's plan is still happening. God's plan is still in the works. And what's really cool is about a big part of his plan is that he loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross. And see, what's really cool is we can see how our story fits into God's big story. So let's start in the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start. Right in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. And so let me help you a little bit. If you're not as comfortable navigating your Bible, Genesis is at the beginning, the far left side of that. If you have your own Bible and you're not sure, there's likely within the first few pages, there's likely a table of contents which tells you where to start. And I'm going to, for the most part, I'm going to be in Genesis. I might mix a few verses in there every so often, but I want you to focus wherever we're at. That's the main portion of where we're at. And you can go ahead and put your bookmark there, and that's where we're going to be. If I give you another reference, don't feel like you have to get there, but write it down so that you have reference to it. So right away, we're going to see four key points today that we're going to talk about. Number one, the creation. Number two, the fall. Number three, the consequences and the result of this fall. And finally, what I like to call the rest of the story. So let's kick it off in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It says this, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Let me pause there for just a minute. Sometimes we read these verses and we just want to get right by them. But there's so much right here. It says, in the beginning, God. So what does this imply to us? This implies to us that before anything else was there, God was there. He is eternal. Revelation chapter 22 says that he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In other words, he always has been, always is, and always will be. And let us wrap our minds around that. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. I think this helps frame our perspective. Well, right after this, we start to see the famous creation story. And creation, what the biggest thing I like about creation is, if you really are looking for it, and even sometimes if you're not, creation is presented with order. There's an order to what's happening. Even in the account here, in the first few verses, God's going to create the spaces. Remember, it tells us there was nothing there, and he spoke, and it was created. Let's pick it up back in verse 3. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, there be an expanse between the waters to separate the water from the water. So God made this expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and he gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Notice here, let me pause for a second. God's creating the spaces. Remember, this is hard for us to wrap our mind around. This is hard for us to understand because things have always been here, right? But there's a time in the beginning where there wasn't stuff. There wasn't the separation. It was just all kind of there, the darkness. And God, first of all, creates light. He creates day and night. He sets a cycle in place. This is part of his created order. Then he creates sky. So he separates, you know, the water above from the water below, and he creates this sky. That's a space. And then he separates the water a little bit, or has it gathered, as the text says, and then there's land. And so he creates the space. He's creating the canvas for which creation will be filled. The spaces were created. And let's continue reading on in verse 11. Then it says, God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plant-bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed and according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. Verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let there serve as signs to mark the seasons and the days and the years, and let the lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made these two great lights, like I mentioned, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning the fourth day. Verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and in every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water and the seas and let the birds increase in the air. And let there be evening, and then there was morning the fifth day. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to their kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Let me pause here for a moment. So now God started by creating the spaces, and now God is creatively filling those spaces, each in their exact spot, each in the way they need to be to survive in those exact spots. And God is beyond creative. You know, if you remember a few months ago, we had John Tello, who's a missionary to all over the world now, but he works with teams and he's an art guy, and he shared a lot about creation, didn't he? He shared a lot about how many variations there are. God is an absolutely creative God. God is clearly also a God of order. And then God is clearly also above all things, right? Because he's the one that speaks. And then it was so. Wouldn't it be great if that was how things work for us? Or maybe it wouldn't be good. maybe our sin nature would kick over and we would start going, but I digress. But what I want you to realize is that same God that spoke the world into existence, that's made something out of nothing, is the same God that we worship today. It's the same God that we can look back and say, yes, God, I see you, what you did there. And while in our lives we might not see the macro big things coming out of nothing, we see the little things that he does in our life, don't we? We see when he intercedes in our behalf, or maybe when he delays you from getting point A to point B and you find out that somewhere in between there was an accident when you normally would have been there. My wife shared a story with me about a family friend of ours we know. Just a short version of is they live close to a busy road, and an accident happened where the car came flying through and hit their house in the spot where the woman normally slept. She had back problems, and she would typically sleep to about 12:30-ish and would get in, go to the bed, the recliner, and wouldn't you know it, that day she was at a concert and she got home late. So she started out in her bed and was in her bed at the normal time. She was usually in the living room that the car plowed through at that exact time. That's God working miraculously, I think, protecting her for whatever reason. He's got a plan. It's part of his plan. So we've got creation. We've got the spaces created. We've got the stuff created. And finally, in verse 26, we get to what I like to call God's crown jewel, which is man. So in verse 26 of chapter 1, we see this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creation that move along the ground. And in verse 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is where the rubber meets the road. And I could spend a long time talking about verse 26 and 27 and how God has set his created order in place, and how today we see how the world has just taken that and tried to booger that all up. But I won't go there. But here's what I do want you to know. This creative order, he creates spaces, he creates things in this space, and then he creates man to be his representative, his person that's in charge of and to have dominion over and to rule in that place. Why is this important? Well, we see from these two verses that the biggest thing that we need to take away from today is you are created. All of us are created in God's image. We're created in the image of God. In other words, our value, our identity, that's where it's rooted. Our identity, our value is rooted in this very two verses right here. See, we spend so much time trying to find our identity or to find what's important or to find our passion or to find all of these things. And listen, I'm not saying that anything we're doing in this world is necessarily bad, but number one, we must always start with these verses in mind, that our identity, my identity, because I'm created in God's image, and that brings incredible value to every human life. It's very important. And as we see in these verses, God says later on that it is very good. See, he looked at the rest of creation and he said, this is good. And if God says good, I think that's still pretty darn good. But he said, this is very good. In fact, in verse 31, a little bit further down, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and morning, the sixth day. Do you catch the importance of knowing God's story starting at the beginning? Do you see how much foundational truth is laid out for us just in this first chapter? And we've got a few more to go. God's created order. God created things in an order on purpose. It has value. It has importance. It has structure. It has a way of giving us, as we'll see more and more through this journey, it gives us a way of how we are to live. And that's how it started out. It was very good. Well, on the seventh day, we should know then that this is when God rested. Did God really need to rest? No, God just spoke and it happened. I think this is important part two, that we see that part of this created order is he's building in this idea that of having a Sabbath, of having that day of rest. And let that sink into us as we are in a society that is, what have you done for me lately? And if I work just a couple more hours, maybe I'll be able to accomplish more things. And I'm not telling you to be lazy, but I'm just telling you, you know, if God created in his order for rest, maybe we should dive in and listen. So man being his crown jewel, and I'm going to pick it up here a little bit, he's given a specific purpose. We saw that. He's given this idea of dominion. And in chapter 2, following along in Genesis, if you just flip over one page about, depending on the type size of your Bible, we'll be in chapter 2, verse 15, and we're going to learn a little bit more about Adam and Eve. And so now we realize that, see, God created man, and then we realize that God created woman from man. So it's Adam and Eve out of, you know, from the rib of a man, he created woman. And so there's some structure there as well. But up in verse 15 of chapter 2, this is what it says. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to work and to take care of it. Okay, catch that. He's given him a purpose. This is what you are to be doing. Okay? So, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Take care of the garden. Take care of what I've created for you. Man, woman, you are put in that place. You know, other spots that tell them, be fruitful, multiply, to fill the earth. All of it was at a good place right here. All of it was at a good place. Then something happens. Then something happens that enters into this world that kind of boogers it all up. And this thing, of course, is sin. And that's the second key point here that we're looking at, is the fall of man. The fall of man. So God's created everything. God's laid it out. God said, here's your purpose. This is what you are to do. Just one small caveat, you know, don't eat from this tree, but everything else you can do. You have dominion over the earth. Well, verse 16 is a very challenging verse sometimes, because, you know, you're free to eat from any tree, but, verse 17 says, but don't eat from this one. Introduced in here is, and we can't get to it too deeply, but this idea of free will or choice. See, God created us in his image. God created us in his image. We're image bearers, but he gave them a choice. You know, if you think about love, if you think about this idea of love, because God clearly built this world, he created this world, and he put us in it, and he had relationship. In fact, if you read further on there, it talks about how God would come and spend time with Adam and Eve. He wanted this relationship, but he created a structure that love, though, can't really be love unless there's a choice, right? So choice comes into the matter here, and I know we could get down a theological rabbit hole, which we're not going to go down there, but this idea that, yes, they were created, they were given dominion, and choice enters. There's this story of two trees, as one commentator said, and these two trees provide an exercise in choice with rewards for choosing to obey, that'd be like the tree of life, and sad consequences for choosing to disobey. See, these two trees, life, the tree of life, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, helps us understand here that God loves man, but he does give him a choice. And there's this exercise here that the blessings of obedience are abundant, but the consequences, though they may be earned for disobedience, do give us this idea that there is right from wrong, eternal life or separation from God. And so Adam and Eve were given this choice. And if we flip the page one more time and we go to chapter 3, we start to follow along here and we see, okay, here's where things get a little hairy. Picking up chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Well, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" Verse 4, You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and make coverings for themselves. Let me just pause there. Doesn't that line from the serpent sound very, very familiar? Did God really say? Have you ever run into something where you've talked to someone and you're like, man, what they're doing here just doesn't sound right, and so you question them and you say, is that really? And they say, well, it's really close. I'm doing like most of what I'm supposed to be doing. It doesn't matter what it is. If you look around this world, there's plenty of examples of people living their life saying, it looks pretty good. I'm gonna eat that fruit. It can't be that bad. It's not gonna really wreck things. And then I sit back, and as I'm contemplating this, I'm thinking, that's me. And I think if you're all honest, we're all in that same boat. It doesn't matter what it is. Different sins affect different people in different ways, and what might be a struggle for me is not a struggle for you, but what you struggle with, I might not struggle with. But I think it all comes back to this phrase, did God really say? And then the serpent says something pretty close to what God said, but there's one glaring, obvious thing, and Eve even notices it. She sees it, and she says, but you know what, you're right. That looks really good, and maybe I will know right from wrong. See, these same tricks hit us in the same way in our lives, and we could keep reading here, but here's really where the consequences of this kick in, because this is critical to understand. The consequences start in verse 8. "And did you know," something that we like to gloss over sometimes as men, where was Adam when Eve was talking to the serpent? And you say it out, where was he? Right there, right? Because when she realizes to eat that fruit, she took some and she ate it. What did she do immediately? She also gave some to her husband. So that at least implies that he's in proximity. And so there's this consequence that enters the world, and it causes them to hide. What did they do? It told us they realized they were naked, and they put fig leaves on, right? That's the first maybe hula skirts, I don't know. But they were trying to hide their nakedness, whereas in just a moment ago, they didn't even see that, and they hid. And so later on, God comes looking for them because he's about relationship, and he is going to walk with them. Wouldn't that be cool, by the way? I can't wait. I hope that happens in heaven. I think that would be really cool. But spending time in just his presence, and I know it feels really good when we do church and we do other things, but heaven is going to be even better. So he comes looking for them and looks for them and says, where are you at? And he calls for them, and they're hiding. And so Adam might stick his hand out and goes, here I am, God. And he says, why are you hiding? And he said, well, I'm naked. And he goes, who told you that? Did you eat the fruits? And Adam's caught red-handed and says, why did you do that? And so Adam, being the upstanding guy, says, it was me. I did. What did he do? It was the woman that what? You gave me her. Don't use that line, guys. That's a really quick line to divorce. Don't do that. Take the pain that comes with the initial punishment and just move on, bite your tongue. But he said it was her. And then she goes, well, it was the serpent. Does that blame game sound familiar to you? Does anyone else do that? Don't raise your hand to that one. I'm just kidding. But yeah, you get the point as he's pointing to that sin. So God goes in and then gives them this. This is what is the consequences. If you want to read that, starting in verse 14, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it just tells all the details to the snake. He says, you're cursed more than any other. To the woman, he says, your childbirth is going to be difficult and challenging. And all the lady says, it sure is. Subject to your husband. You know, in other words, you're going to follow him. He's going to be the head of the household. And man, he says, you are going to be, yes, you're to provider, but it's going to be complicated. It's going to be hard to till the earth. It's going to be difficult to plant things. And we even see here that creation, even though creation didn't sin, man sinned, creation went sideways because of that. Things were harder. Things just weren't as they meant to be, and there was punishment there. See, sin brought pain and suffering. Were their eyes opened? Oh, yeah, their eyes were open. They saw it, but they didn't get what they thought they were going to get. Sin brought pain and suffering. It brought separation from God because we realized then that Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden and they weren't allowed to go back because God could not allow them in their sinful state to be there and to live forever, which is what I think would have happened had there been no sin, but we'll never know. It corrupted all things around us. It continues on in Genesis chapter 4 as they talk about Cain and Abel. And you know the story there, Cain and Abel, brothers, that one was a harvester, one was a hunter, and one brought a good offering to God. One kind of went cheap a little bit on it, and then God called him on it, and then he killed his brother. And so sin just kind of continues to go rampant. And the world got corrupt and corrupt and corrupt and corrupt. It just kept going. God, in God's sight, and he saw violence and he saw bad things, except for one person, one family. And if we skip ahead to Genesis chapter 6, we would see this story of Noah and the ark that comes into full fruition. See, in chapter 6 through 9, we see what judgment looks like. We read what happens because the sin of the world, which, by the way, didn't stop with Adam and Eve, didn't stop with Cain and Abel. Sin is this thing that is pervasive in all of us because of that. From that point to now, everybody who's been born is born with sin nature. I've said this a million times. You don't have to teach a two-year-old how to say no. Not my house anyways. They just know how to say no. I have to teach them how to do the good things like tie their shoes and obey their parents. But to say no or to do what they want to do, ooh, no teaching is necessary. And that's why family time, and that's why raising our kids in the church and in God's Word and teaching them about God's Word and giving them the bits and pieces they can understand at that point in time and beginning at an early age to teach them that, listen, you are a sinner and you need Jesus. And that's okay to say because I'm a sinner and I need Jesus and we all do. And that what brings this all in. So back to the story. Judgment comes. God said, even to the point, listen, I'm going to wipe out everything on this earth except for one family and a few animals. Okay, a bunch of animals, but two of every kind and different ones there. And you can see the details. God has them build an ark, which, by the way, it hadn't rained yet. And he's like, oh, I'm building a boat. He's in the middle of like a desert area. And everyone's looking at him going, what are you doing? Well, God's going to bring a lot of rain. There's going to be a flood. And people are like, uh-uh. And all this goes on, and Noah's building this ark, but then judgment comes. See, sometimes we look at the story of the flood and we say, how can a God who loves his creation wipe it out? And this is a common question you'll get when you talk to non-Christians, and sometimes even Christians, we struggle with this. The reality is I look at Noah's, the flood that came that destroyed creation, that was God's judgment. Back to this sin idea. I mentioned that when we sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, there was consequences and there was a result of that. And one of that is physical mortality, right? And one of that is separation from God. And when we sin, what we deserve is that big flood. What we deserve is that big flood. What we deserve is eternal separation from God. That's what we deserve. So the question we should be asking is, why did God save anybody? Grace, mercy, You know, it says they were righteous, and were they righteous? Righteous? I don't know. They believed in God, at least to that much. Noah was considered righteous. God called him righteous. I'm going to go with that. God chose to continue his big story through one family. You know, I've seen some commentators saying that that's plan B. I don't think that's plan B. I think God has a plan A, and that's what it is. But this family, Noah's family, was saved. They were told to go into an ark with all the animals, and then the door was shut behind them. Who shut the door? God, right? He's protecting them, saving them. And sometime later, they come out, and they kind of do that 2.0. It's not really a reboot, but it's a continuation. And they start over, and the three sons separate, and they start to populate the land. You know, if we ended today right there, I don't think I'd be doing you a service. We're going to have what I call the rest of the story. Anybody a Paul Harvey fan from back in the day? Yeah, I mean, I listened to them all the time, and it was like, and now the rest of the story. So this is not the end of the story. Sin causes a huge problem. Separation from God, consequences, judgment. That is earned, by the way. Consequences that plague us for the rest of our life. But if we look at chapter 3 and verse 15, I'm going to give you just a couple of nuggets here of the rest of the story. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, this is what it says. This is talking about, cursed above are you above all livestock. He's talking to the serpent. He says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. What is that pointing to? That's pointing to salvation. That's pointing to Jesus. I believe that's the first pointing ahead, saying, realize there's a problem. Sin's a consequence. You're going to suffer. Their flood was still coming. All that stuff was still coming. But he says, I'm going to provide a way. I'm going to send the seed of this woman. In other words, if you trace the lineage down the line, and we'll learn more about this later in later weeks, but eventually, right, that son, Jesus Christ, that was born, is the seed that came to crush the head of the serpents. That's Jesus. Man is sinful, man is broken, but God is bigger than the sin. The second thing that I like to point out is in verse 21 of chapter 3. Here's something that's kind of often overlooked, but is worth pointing out. It says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. What was the skin? Probably animal skin, right? So that implies that what? An animal had to die. And so I think if you look at this coupled with verse 15, you can see that there's a foreshadowing that there must be a payment for the sins. There has to be a sacrifice. Because, see, God's wrath is real. God's not just some vengeful, off-the-hook mad guy. God is a God that is holy, that can't be with sin. And so when sin enters the world, there's a problem and there's a consequence from that, and there's a wrath, there's a judgment that goes with that. But our God loves us so much that he wove into his story a solution to this sin problem. The wrath of God would eventually be satisfied at the cross when Jesus died on the cross, so that all who believe in him would be saved. Last thing, you don't have to turn with me, but in chapter 9, just two verses, write these down, 12 and 15. Excuse me, chapter 9, not chapter 12. I know where I'm at. Verse 12 says this, okay, this is after the flood. Noah's been told to go out. Verse 12, it said, and God said, this is a sign. What was the sign? It would have been the rainbow of the covenant that I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. Verse 15, I will remember my covenant between me and you and in all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all of life. In other words, never again will he bring that total destruction that was like that. He's giving them this hope. See, sin has a payment, and we're going to make that payment someday. Or, if we have Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, he's already made that payment. But when this is happening, he's foreshadowing. He's saying, listen, there's more to the story. I'm not done yet. There's more, and I'm going to weave my way through history, and I'm going to weave my way through a people that's going to be then separated and then eventually land up to where there's a man that's God born as a man in Israel that brings salvation to all. God sets the stage for the greatest restoration project ever. Yes, free will causes us to have a sin problem. It brings brokenness. Sin is inherited, but God's big story includes the salvation that's foretold about at the moment. Right after that sin occurred, God already was working to solve this problem. Isn't God good? So what is our takeaway from today? What can we apply to our lives? Well, number one, I want you to walk out of here today without a question in your mind that because you're created in God's image, you are valuable. You are important. You can have an identity in Him. You know, I believe in following Christ that we are created on purpose for a purpose. You know, I see things in my life that I learned and picked up along the way, you know, in the last 20 or so years that helped me out today that I never thought, never saw it coming a million miles away, that that's where God was leading me to. But He's at work in your life today. You are important. You are created in His image. The second is this, is that God is holy and He is a righteous judge. And that we have a sin problem and that the only solution to that sin problem is Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you don't know Him as a Savior, today is the day. The same God that brought a worldwide flood as judgment will someday come back and be the final judge for our sins. Let it not be said about you that you don't know Jesus. Sin has consequences and we absolutely deserve it. It separates us. We cannot fix it on our own, but God can. And lastly this, God has a plan for restoration. Sin is not the end of the story. If you're here today and you don't think God can overcome your sin, you've sinned too big that He can't get past it, I'm here to tell you that's not a true. I forgot my hat. I was going to bring my devil as a liar hat. It's a cool song by Colton Dixon. It's just really good. It just reminds us that the devil is going to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. Do you have to address your sin? Absolutely. You need to repent. And I heard this from Tony Evans this week. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. I'm sorry is an apology. Repentance is an actual physical change. So if you're really sorry, my parents would say this to me, I've said it to my kids, if you're really sorry, you wouldn't do that. You know, and you're kind of like, well, yeah, you're probably right. If God's poking at you, if there's something in your life that's kind of like bugging you, get it right with God today. Repent, give it to Him. And not only apologize, but maybe you have to talk to somebody about it. Maybe you have to tell them you're sorry for what you did. And maybe you have to make some choices in your life to make that repentance, to turn from sin and turn towards God. As the worship team comes up, finishes our time together, I'm excited about this journey. I hope that you're ready to tackle this, ready to take it head on. Look at the different tools we have to help you navigate this journey. If you want a copy of the story, there's some in the library. Catch the podcast, catch the resources that are linked through the QR code. But ultimately, I want you to walk away today being able to sing this song we're going to sing, as I surrender to you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.